Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Tzadi Chet Amud Aleph, 11 lines down. We're beginning with Matita Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva. We have a Braita in the name of Rabbi Akiva. And just to review, on yesterday, we finished off with the Braita that was darshening the Pasuk from Vayikra Zayin, where at the end of Vayikra Zayin it says, Zotrat la ula, la mincha, vela chatat, vela sham, vela miluim, ulizeva chashlamim. We have a list of all the korbanot, and the Braita indicates that there's a hekesh between all the korbanot, and from each korban we learn a unique item that is then taught from that korban to the remainder of the korbanot that are there. And because it's a hekesh, it doesn't have to necessarily be logical, the connection between the korbanot, but it's a given that we have something learned from each of those that are listed or enumerated over there. So the Braita that we saw yesterday, which was by the name of Rabbi Elazar, first we learn from Ola, that Ola is Tuna Kli, and we said that the kli that we're speaking about there was a sakin. Mincha, we said that that taught us that it was eaten by Zichrei Kuna, it was Kodshei Kodeshim eaten by Zichrei Kuna, and that taught us about the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur, that they're also eaten by the Zichrei Kuna. Gemara brought an alternate source for that, and the Gemara then said that it depends. Sometimes I even learn it from here, sometimes I even learn it from there. That's what points out there's actually a third source for that, so there's actually a third view as to where we learn it from. And then again, if you don't have the mincha available for that, then you're going to use it in the braita that we're going to bring today. There's an alternative view as to what we do with mincha. We learned from chatat that ma chatat mitkadeshet bebalua, which we spent a lot of time on the perek. The absorption of the chatat then causes the other item to be mitkadeshet, or to have the same status as the chatat. Hashem taught us about ein shafir v'shilya kadosh bo, so too by the other korbanot. And then we learned from the word miluim that the motar is bisreifa, but if it's alive, then there's no motar bisreifa. And for shlamim, we learned that there is mifaglim or mitfaglim by the korbanot. So that's what we learned based on that braita. Now with the alternate braita is matita tano mishmei de Rabbi Akiva. We have a braita in the name of Rabbi Akiva, mincha. So again, in the previous braita, they used the word mincha to teach us that zichrei kuna are the ones who eat the zivchei shalmei tzibur. I mean, we learned that from mincha, and then extrapolated that to the Zivchei Shalmei Tzibur. Gemara said there is an alternative source for that. So if you hold that there is an alternative source, then what do you do with mincha? You'd have to learn the mincha like the braita of Rabbi Akiva. Ma mincha mitkadeshet bibalua, avko mitkadeshet bibalua. Just like the mincha has the same thing, that if it's absorbed, that anything that touches the mincha, yikdash, just like we said by the chatat, so too, everything is mitkadeshet. So v'yitzrach l'michtav mincha, v'yitzrach l'michtav chatat. You need both the mincha and the chatat to be written, which means that the mincha and the chatat are teaching you the same thing. We saw in the previous braita the chatat taught us that kol, that is balua, it impacts or it takes on the properties of the chatat. Now we're saying we can learn the same thing from the word mincha. So why do you need both of them? Tiyash minan mincha, had you only learned that from the word mincha, the idi de rikicha mivlo, because they are soft, they are absorptive, they're absorbent. Aval chatat, eim alo. If it was a chatat, which is a thicker material, I mean it's meat, and it's not as soft as a dough, or a dough actually that's very oily, so maybe there we wouldn't speak about absorption of the item. V'yashmin an chatat, if you taught us only chatat, mishum de karir. So Rashi describes over here that karir is habasar av, v'nichnas b'tocho shumon b'umko. Because the basar is very thick, and the fattiness and the oils penetrated deeply. So that's why over there by the chatat, there's this issue of balua, of a mincha, which doesn't have that property, eim alo. So you have things with different properties. You have meat versus breads. And therefore you would have thought maybe there's a unique characteristic to basar versus the breads. So along comes the braita to tell you that the din of balua applies both to a chatat and to a mincha, that the din is the same in both of those areas. And so therefore, tzricha, so that's why we need both the mincha and the chatat to teach us the same thing. Rabbi Akiva, in terms of zichrei kuna, which is the source in the previous braita of Rabbi Elazar from mincha, Rabbi Akiva says, I don't need that. Because he'll say, I learned zichrei kuna by chatat are written explicitly. By Hashem, written explicitly. The only thing we needed to know about zichrei kuna from was zivchei shalmei tzibur. He can say, I learned it from the pasuk in Parshat Korach. And the pasuk in Parshat Korach teaches me, there's a ribui there, to say that it's eaten by the zichrei kuna. And again, the Baita Sword being a third source for that. So Rabbi Akiva doesn't need the word mincha to teach you that. And that's why he has now the word mincha teaching you something else of balua and being a tzrichuta to chatat. Interesting enough, now the Baita says chatat. What do we learn from a chatat? So the Gemara just did a tzrichuta between mincha and chatat, which means that they learned the chatat the same way that the Baita of Rabbi Elazar learned it. So the Baita Sword say, tarte darish mi chatat. They learned two things from chatat. to Kvar Darash Nami Machatat Mikadeshet Bebalua. Because we already learned about Balua, and it's clear that the bright of Rabbi Kiva subscribes to that because the Gemara created its Srichuta between that Chatat and the Mincha. So we actually have two things that we're going to learn out of the Chatat. Machatat Eina Ba'a Ela Mino Chulin Ubayom Ubayadoa Yemanit. Chatat has these properties that has to be brought from something that is Chulin, which just means that it's yours, it's your own ownership, and you don't have any other previous obligations associated with this item that you bring, or your mikadesh as the chatat. It has to be brought during the day, and it has to be done with your right hand. Af kol, so to all the other korbanot, eino ba'ela min echulin, has to come from something that's not yet sanctified, where there's no obligation associated with that beima. Ubayom, has to be processed during the day, ubayado yemenit, and with his right hand. Vechatat minalan. How do we know that's true by a chatat, that you have to bring it min a chulin? Amar Rav Chisda Makra, the pasuk says in Parshat Achrimot, Kivaron et para chatat asher lo. He brings the para chatat that is his, mishalo. Gemara darshins, velo mishal tzibur. He's got to fund the par of Yom Kippurim for the Kohanim from his own pocket and not from the coffers of the tzibur. Velo mishal maaser. And he also can't bring it from something that is already kadosh, already has a certain obligation associated with it, like maaser b'ema, b'yom. So now we said it also has this principle that b'yom is brought during the day. Gemara says, wait a minute, the source for the fact that you have to do process korbanot during the day is actually a pasuk, which is very close to Zot HaTorah, Lo'olah, L'mincha, V'lechatat, L'Hashem, L'omim, L'zevach, Shlamim. So there the next pasuk is, Asher tzivah Hashem et Moshe b'har Sinai, b'yom tzavotot b'nei Yisrael, l'akrivet korbanehem, l'Hashem b'midbar Sinai. So Gemara says, Miyom Tzavoto Nafka. What do you mean? We don't learn that out of the Chatat. We learn that out from the Pasuk that's found juxtaposed to this Limud that we're doing, the Zot HaTorah. Gemara says, Kedei Naspa. It was just brought as an aside. It's not the real Limud for why we have to do it during the Yom. Just noting that it happens to be true, that a Chatat has to be processed during the day, but that's not the source for the fact that it's done during the day. Beyadoam Yemanit. Again, that he has to do with his right hand. Gemara asks again, Midrabo Barchana Nafka. That's not learned from Chatat, that's learned out from the din of Rabba Bar Chana. Dama Rabba Bar Chana, Amar Reish Lakish, Komakom, Shinema Etzba Vikuna, Inu El Yamin. Anytime you have the words Etzba and Kuna mentioned, that is an indication that you must do it with your right hand. So then you don't need Chatat to teach you that. If you have the word Etzba, or you have the word Kuna that appear, which is true by all the Korbanot, the word Kohain appears by all of them, then it would require right, independent of whether we knew that from Chatat or not. Again, says Kadei Naspo. It was brought down as an aside. It's true, the din is true, but it's not the source for the din. Chatat's not the source for the din of Yamin. Chatat's not the source for the din of Yom. But it happens to be true that all korbanot have to be processed during the day, and all korbanot have to be done with the right hand. So it was just brought down as an aside. Vivai Deima. Some suggest, Savar Laka Rabbi Shimon, that this follows the position of Rabbi Shimon, which Rabbi Shimon says that you need both Etzba and Kihuna. It's not enough to have Kihuna. In order to indicate right, you need Etzva and Kuna. So according to him, you don't have that, because all the korbanot do have the word Kohen or Kuna mentioned by them, but not all the korbanot have the word Etzva mentioned by them. And so therefore, Rabbi Shimon, you don't have that limud to teach you that all korbanot need right, and it's a source out of this pasuk, the Hekesh to Chatat, where there is Etzva and there is Kohen, where Rabbi Shimon agrees from there, you learn that it's done with the right hand, then that we can now extrapolate to the other korbanot. Damar Etzva lo bai Kuna. When you have the word Etzva, you don't need Kuna. But kuna by etzba. When you have the word kuna, you still need etzba. So that's true by chatat that you have that. But the remainder of the korbanot do not have that. The Balei Tosafot also point out that according to the opinion in Ezu Mekonan, the davar ha-melamed b'gzera shava, eino chozer ha-melamed b'hekesh, that something that's learned through a gzera shava can then not be used through a hekesh. Tzarech lomar hocha, kedei naspa. You did have to say over here, it's kedei naspa that's brought down, and this is not the source for the item. Because the original source for the fact that a chatat requires right by etzba and kuna is learned from gzer shava to mitzora. That's what we learned in Ezum Mikoman. And then, now you're trying to extrapolate that through a hekesh. So that means that you have a hekesh on top of a gzer shava. So if you believe that a hekesh can't teach after you've done a gzer shava, then over here, obviously, that can't be the source for the right hand over here, and you would have to say kedei naspa, because otherwise you can't have the limud carried through from chatat to the other items to a hekesh, because the chatat itself was only learned through a gzeres shava. Then he says asham, as opposed to the shafir v'shilya that we learned in the bright of Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Akiva says that asham teaches you the following. Now Rabbi Akiva can disagree on a number of levels. He can disagree because there were two assumptions, if you remember, in the Braita of Rabbi Elazar. Number one is Vladot Kodoshim Bahav Yatan Hein Kodoshim. They only become Kodosh at the moment of birth, not while they're in utero. So you could disagree on that point, and that's why you can't learn it from Hasham. Or Danin Efshar Mishi Efshar. Rabbi Elazar's assumption is that you can learn from Hasham, where they're all male korbanot, to teach you that there's no din of the fetus or the fetal sac or the afterbirth being Kadosh because they're males. And that can be taught to females, which means Dan Mi Efshar Le Efshar. So Rabbi Akiva could disagree on that point as well. So Rabbi Akiva may not subscribe to that limud of Hasham that's found in the Braita of Rabbi Elazar, and he brings the following. Masham atzmutav mutarim, but the asham, the atzmot, the bones are mutarim, afkol atzmutav mutarim. So too, any other korban, when it comes to the bones are mutarim. Now, a couple of things to say about this. We actually bumped into this earlier in the Masechta back on Daf Pei Vav. There, Rashi brought a different explanation, the explanation of his Rebbeim. But before we get to that, the first distinction you have to make is what type of bone we're speaking about. If we're speaking about a bone that has marrow inside of it, then you are going to run into a problem, because the marrow inside of it will become notar. So as long as there's marrow inside of it, then basar, or the marrow that's inside of it, will become notar, and then it's subject to sreifa, and you can't use it, or you can't keep the atzamot around. So it has to be atzamot that don't have the marrow inside of them, don't have basar inside of them, so that they don't become notar. And Rashi already notes that it has to be a case where there is no basar, because only basar, or only davar ne'echal, only something that is consumed or eaten is subject to notar. Something that's not eaten isn't subject to notar, so there's no problem with keeping atzamot around. If you have permission to use them, then there's no problem with keeping them around because there's no din of notar if they're not an edible item. So that's the first thing. Rashi brought back on Pei Vav and Aleph, he brought the reason, Sherei af bisaro mutar. He says, by Nasham, the basar is mutar. And if the basar is mutar, then certainly the atzamot should be mutar. What reason do you have to be oser them? The imishum notar, the bisreifa. What about the fact that notar is subject to sreifa? Lo sheach notar, ela b'midei de barachila. That's the reasoning that Rashi brings back on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, and that is the shita of Rashi's Rebbeim, and the Balei Tosafot on Pei Vav Amud Aleph note that this is the shita of his Rebbeim, v'hu atzmo hiksha al peruzeh lekaman. And Rashi himself, on our daf, questions that view of his Rebbeim. Because the view of his Rebbeim are, that it is a pol yotze, which means that because something is mutar b'achila, means that if the basar is mutar b'achila, so too the bones are mutarim b'tashmish or b'hana'a. It's a given. Now, what Rashi asks over here is, if that's true, what do you need the limud from Hasham? Because if by definition anything that's a bar achila is subject to the din that basar is mutar, atzamot are mutar, then what do I need to learn from Hasham? The answer is, ola. Ola is something that's not consumed, and I would need to learn Ola from the Hasham. Then Rashi has the question, okay, now I have to learn from Ola, why am I learning from Hasham? This is true about a Shlamim, this is true about a Chatat, why is the Hasham, the Korban that was picked, to be the paradigmatic source for all of this? So that's what Rashi says. Over here, if you can look, Ma Hasham Atzmutav Mutarim, Lasod Mehen Kelim, you can make them into utensils, which they were used for in those days, bones especially for things like spoons, forks, they're used for that purpose. So he says, Ani shamati, sharei ne'echal l'kohanim. He says, because, from my Rebbeim I heard, because the Kohanim can eat it. Since they mutar ba'achila, the basar, then certainly the atzamot are mutarim ba'ana. Ve'notar ba'atzamot l'shayach av davar ha'ne'echal. And there's no din of notar when it comes to atzamot, because it's not something that is edible. Avkol, va'afilu ola. And as Rashi notes over here, what you need to learn from here is the ola. Umibayili, but I have a problem with this, because hanami mi'chatat avi matzi yolif. You could have learned this out of a chatat, you could have learned this out of shlamim. V'nira be'enai. And now Rashi brings an alternative view, which he didn't bring back on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, but here he brings the alternative view. De'belo iye nitera nafgale. They learn it out from the extra milo iye that is found in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, by the processing of the Korban Hasham, where it says, Kechatat ka'asham Torah achat lahem, ha'kohen asher yechaper bo lo iye. So that is extraneous. Because he already said that he can eat the Korban belongs to him. So why is there an additional lo-iyeh over there? So that's what Rashi says is the source for the fact that the Korban Hasham, the atzamot, are also mutarim. Which means that Rashi's assumption is that the atzamot would have been asurim. And there's no reason to believe that they are mutarim. The extra lo-iyeh by Hasham teaches you that the atzamot there are mutarim. And then once we have that, then we can extrapolate it to all the korbanot, not just to an olah. truth is, and we learned this back on Pei Vav Aleph, that's what was doing over there, is that the next pasuk is, Kohen makrivet olat ish, or ola asher yikriv la kohen lo yeh. So the lo yeh appears by the ola as well. Mara back on Pei Vav Aleph said there's a gzeirah shavah between lo yeh, lo yeh. And just like the atzamot of the asham are mutarim, so too the atzamot of the ola are mutarim. The Baal Tosafot on the Amud Bet spent a lot of time trying to understand why it is that we need two sources for that fact. Why do you need the gzeirah shavah and the limud from the word asham? So that's Rashi's explanation over here as to what the source is. And you can see in the Baal Tosafot, Perish Bakuntris. And then he says, Vahashta Perush Rabutav. According to the reasoning of the Rebbeim of Rashi, the Mistavra Yoda that's a mot mutarim b'chol kodashim and echalim. Then any kodashim that are eaten, you don't need a source for that because, by definition, if you can eat the basar, you can have that samot. Then you only need the hekesh to teach you about an ola. He says that there's a kasha, like Rashi says, from all the other korbanot, you could have learned this. But lama echtov asham. So why did I learn it from asham? Ve'yesh lomar. So here, Baal Tosafot come to defense of Rashi's rebellion to try to explain it. Back on Pei Vav Amud Aleph, they say Rashi is bringing the pshat of his rebbeim, which he disagrees with, and we disagree with over here. He gives a possibility of defending their position. He says, just like I explained on the previous amud, that each one of these items needs to be used for a particular purpose. So Rashi noted on yesterday's daf that why are we learning from Mincha the fact that Zichrei Keuna can't eat the Kodoshim, and from that we extrapolate it to Zidchei Shamitzibur, you can learn that from Chatat, you can learn that from Asham. Rashi rejected that and said, well, by Chatat and Asham it says Kodesh Kodoshim Hu. So maybe that's particular to there, and you can't extrapolate it from it. The Baal Tosafot say, even without that, the possibility is just simply, we need to learn one unique thing from each item there, and we have nothing to learn from Mincha. So that's what we learn from. So he says the same thing here. Maybe you'll say the same thing about Asham. Since each one of the Korbanot, we have a purpose for them, we don't have the capacity to learn from them to the other items. Can't learn from them. We have more important items to learn from the other korbanot. So the only thing that's left over is Asham. So that's why we learned it from Asham. And Ochanami could have learned it from the other korbanot. But since Asham was left over, just like the Baal Tosafot would say, by Mincha, yesterday you could have learned it from Chatat and Asham. We already used the Chatat and Asham. So Mincha's left over, we learn it from there. So to over here, Asham is left over, and that's why we learn it. So that's how the Baal Tosafot defend the Rebbeim of Rashi. And then he says on the Amud Bet, oh, the Perish Rashi, the Amar b'chol ha-kodeshim in a din asurim atzamot, lo yitir ha-katuv ela basar ha-ro'oi la-achila, b'gilanu b'asham, lo yeh, t'mashma sharyuta ne'elif k'mo kein heter b'chol ha-kodeshim al-pizeh. What Rashi is suggesting is that once we learn that heter by Asham, you're able to extrapolate it to the other korbanot. The lo yeh is almost like a mare mokum, to tell you that when it's mutar b'achila, so too are the atzamot, and we'll extend that from Asham to the other korbanot, and then the Baal Tosafot go on to spend time on why there's a necessity for both the Gzera Shava of Lo Iyeh, as well as the Hekesh of the Pasuk Vizot Torah Ola. And he makes a couple of suggestions. He says, V'yesh lomar du lo gamrinim hekesh shayla korbanot en echalim. It's a possibility that you would only learn out korbanot that are eaten from the Hekesh, because Asham is a korban en echal. Maybe you couldn't learn out Ola from it, and that's why you need a separate Gzera Shava for Ola. Or, you can say, V'yesh lomar du lo Iyeh du Ola kayala or, lo lahatir atzamot. Or maybe the lo yeh of the ola is coming to teach you that the skin is mutar lekohanim, that the hide is mutar lekohanim, and not about the atzamot. So you have other ways to differentiate or to explain why you need both the gzera shava as well as the hekesh that we have over here. And in the Gemara in Menachot, Rashi gives actually a different reason as to why the Gemara picks Asham as the source. And Tosafot brings that way at the end of the Tosafot. Says, "V'sof menachot perish kuntres da'ab the pshitalei basham yoter mishar korbanot anechalim mishum dechti basham hu la'char aktarat ha'imurav." It says, "Hu after the bringing of the imurim, the mashma hu asham ve'in atzmutav asham." It says, "Asham hu is after the hekter chalavim, the putting of the fats on the mizbeach, and indicated through that is that only the fats are something that are considered to be an asham, but the atzamot, the bones, are not considered to be." The source, and that's why Rashi says maybe that's why Asham is the source for this fact. So that's what we learn out from the word Asham in the Pasuk of Zot HaTorah. So now the Gemara moves on. Amar Rava, Pshitali, it's straightforward to me, Dam Chatat Damata, V'dam Ola Lamala, Tolun Kibus. If a beged of a Kohen, or an individual that got splashed by a Chatat, if the Dam HaChatat splashed on him first, and then only afterwards Dam Ola splashed on him, For sure, he needs kibbutz, because the Dama Chatat was there first. And when it hit the Beged, there was a requirement of kibbutz. Just because the Dama Ola came afterwards on top of it, that does not obviate him of the need to do the kibbutz. By Rava, but the question he has is, Dam Ola Lamato, the Dam Chatat Lamalo. What happens in a situation or a scenario where the Dama Ola first hit the Beged, and then after the Dama Ola was in the Beged, the Dama Chatat splashed on top of it? Does that require kibbutz? Mahu, what's the din here? Mishim no geyahu, va no geya. Is the reason for kibbutz nigia, the contact of the dam to the beged, and that's the source for, or the what necessitates the kibbutz over here. And in the end, the dam achatat is on the beged, even though there's dam olah below it, it's still touching the beged. Odilma mishum baluahu, or maybe it's because it was absorbed into the beged. Vahalo balam. And over here, there's a prevention of that happening because the dam of the ola is already absorbed into the beged, and that is preventing the absorption of the dam achatat into the beged. Your question, which is a fair question of how, isn't there some sort of chatzitza? The Gemara is going to speak about in a second about chatzitza, but the truth is that it depends on whether the dam here is dried out or still liquidy. If it's still liquidy, then it's probably not an issue at all of chatzitza, because the liquid and another liquid on top of it, it won't provide a chatzitza there. If the dam is already dried out, then you might have a possibility of indicating that it would be chotzeitz, and it would be a problem, and then won't even be a negia over there. I think that what they have to say here is that the dam of the ola is still moist in there, and therefore it's not a problem of a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, Hadar Pashto, he came to the conclusion, Deintunim kibbutz. You don't need kibbutz in this case. Very interesting Gemara. Gemara says Rava had a question, and then Rava came to a conclusion that you don't require kibbutz. What's missing from the Gemara is what changed Rava's mind. How did he change his mind from the question to the answer? It doesn't tell you what precipitated the change in his feeling over here. That leaves us to speculate about what Rava's reasoning is, and likely it has to do with the pasuk from which we learn this, which is called Asher Yiga Bivsara Yikdash, Asher Yizeh Midama Ala Beged, Asher Yizeh Alea Techaveis Vemakom Kadosh. So if you remember in yesterday's daf, we learned Kol Asher Yiga Bivsara, we interpreted the word Bivsara to mean Balua, that it has to have absorption over there in order for it to be Yikdash. So that was not just Nigia, you need absorption, Balua, in order for that to be true. So the first half of the pasuk speaking of Balua, so maybe that's what influences the second half of the pasuk called Rav over here to say, Asher Yizeh Midama Ala Beged, is governed by the first half of the pasuk of Bivsara. So just like the first half of the pasuk is about Balua, so too the second half of the pasuk is speaking about Balua, or it's from the subsequent pasuk, which is Ukli Cheres Asher Tevushal Bo Yishaver Imikli Nechoshet Bushalo Murak Pushutaf Amayim. There too, we indicated that it's not enough for Bishul, you need Bishul and Balua. And therefore, again, the first half of the pasuk of Beged and the pasuk subsequent to it, both are speaking about cases of Balua, and so maybe that is what pushed Rava to say that it has to be Balua over here. And since there's a lack of Balua, there's no requirement of kibbutz. Now, when there is no requirement of kibbutz, there is still a requirement of greda. If you remember, we saw that a couple of daf ago, that when it came to items that can be laundered, there was a demand for laundering. When it came to items that can't be laundered, there was a demand for greda, that you just scrape it off, but you do have to take it off. And the same will be true here. If you don't require kibbutz, you still require greida. Amar Rava, pshita li, dama bigdo chotzeitz. If he has blood on his beged, it is chotzeitz if he goes to do a tvila. If the beged is tamei, he wants to do a tvila with the beged, the dam itself is a chatzitza. Vim tabachu, if he is a butcher, eno chotzeitz. It is not a chatzitza. That's because he works with blood all day. And chatzitza, as Rashi notes over here, is bekepeda talio, is dependent on whether the person cares about it or not. And that is because the way that we look at chatzitza, it's either that the chatzitza exists on the rove of the beged, or if it's on the miut of the beged, it's only if your makbid is it a chatzitza. And so over here, it's clearly the miut of the beged that has the dam over here. And since he's a butcher, he's used to it, or it's commonplace for him, or it's not a ganai for him to have blood on his beged because everybody knows that he works with animals all the time. And therefore it won't be a chatzitza because he's not makpid on this miut of blood that is on his beged. For someone else, they will be makpid on it. If they're makpid, that makes it into a chatzitza. So you need a item where either it's on the roof of the beged, or it's a miut where you're makpid. Now, mi derabanan, we're choshesh for the case of miut she'enu makpid, because of the possibility that it's miut or makpid, or because of the possibility that it'll be on the roof of beged, and so therefore mi derabanan, we don't allow it even when you're not makpid. But mi doraita, the din of chatzitza only applies either when it's al roof, or when it's miut and kepeda. That's the din of chatzitza. Now, many of the mefarshim over here say that the din is not just about a beged, but it's also bisaro. It's not just al bigdo, al bisaro. There's some even have girsa of bisaro over here, and not bigdo. Obviously, that has a huge nafkamina as to whether the din here is only or uniquely associated with a beged. We're going to say that the person, profession, will make him waive certain hakpadot that people would normally have. So therefore, if it's a miut and he's enu makpid, it's not a problem. But if it's on bisaro, you could have argued that even if it's a miut, it's a problem. And that's the way Rashi learns. Rashi learns that there's a difference between bisaro and bigdo. By bigdo, it's miut. And if there is no kapeda, it's not a problem. Al bisaro, by definition, if there's something there, there is a chatzitza. And that might be gzerat hakatuv, that the pasuk says that bisaro b'mayim, that the entirety of his body must touch the waters of the mikveh. And if there's anything on there, that's not going to happen. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, thinks that this is also a source for bisaro, and therefore the same din applies to rubo or hakpada. So if it's miut umakpid, it's going to be a problem. Or if it's rubo, then it's going to be a problem. But if it's miut enumakpid, midoraita, that's not going to be a chatzitza even on the individual, and that's the way the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashba and many other Rishonim learn over here, that this din applies equally to beged as it does to basar. And therefore, it really turns out that it's very hard to, in general, get a chatzitza that is midoraita. If you're not makpid on it, if it's something small, in general, you're not going to have this problem because you need rov. So there is a machlok in Rishonim, whether rov rosho is enough, or you need rov gufo. So if you think it's rov rosho, maybe there's a chance that you could get it. But if you believe it has to be rov gufo, it's very unlikely that you can end up with a doraita problem. And most issues with chatzitza then will be dinim derabanan. The exception of Rashi's view, who says that even by miut she'enu makpid, there still might be a problem deoraita. In these types of things, there's a certain amount of subjectivity, but there's also tela dato, it's a kol adam. So at a certain point, we say that even if he says he's not makpid, we don't listen to him. Meaning that if he's makpid and others aren't makpid, then it might be subjective. But if it's the other way around, where others are makpid and he's not makpid on it, certain times we're going to say tela dato, it's a kol adam. He could say that he's not makpid, but that's not the way that generally people conduct themselves. And we're going to say that his makshova in this case, or the way that he conducts himself, is just not considered to be mainstream. And even though he says, oh, I don't care the way I look, I don't care about all these stains on my beged, people just don't go around like that. And normal people would consider that to be problematic, and therefore will be a chatzitza. So again, if you're doing it to the chumrah side, you can argue that it's very subjective. If you're doing it to the kula side, sometimes we will say, b'tela dato, it's o kol adam. So now, ravav, as Rashi says, we are kol davar hanituch, anything that becomes a liquid, gon shuman, v'chelev, v'shava, basically grease, oil, grease, those types of things. If you have an oil or grease stain on the beged, al bigdo chutzeitz, everybody agrees that that's chutzeitz, because people are makbin on those types of stains. V'mocher avavu, if he's a seller of oil or grease, ain't no chutzeitz, then it's not chutzeitz because he knows that that's going to happen. His beged gets splashed or stained with this all the time, and he's not makbin on it because it's almost an advertisement for his profession, rather than being something that is to be embarrassed about that you have such a stain. So by Rava, so after he gave us all the things that he's certain about, he asked the following question. Dam uravav al bigdo mahu. If he has both a blood stain and a grease stain on his beged, what's the din? Im tabachu tibiklei mishum ravav. Well, what's the question? If he is a butcher, the problem should be the grease stain, even though the blood's not a problem. Im mocher ravavu, if he's a seller of oil or grease, tibiklei mishum dam. Then the dam should be problematic, even though the grease or the oil is not a problem. He does both. He's a professional butcher and grease and oil seller. So then maybe he shouldn't be makpid because he is involved both with dam and grease. So this is the shaila that Rava had. Maybe when it comes to having stains on your beged, if it's one type of stain, a person will let it go. I won't worry about it. But if you have multiple stains, meaning that there's a stain of blood and a stain of grease on there he would be makpid. Meaning that it looks like he's already not caring about his appearance when there's so many different types of stains on his beged. Had it been one type of stain, you could just say, oh, that's because of his professional work. Once there's multiple stains, even though he's a professional in both areas, already looks like he's a schlump. He's a person who doesn't care about what he's wearing. So maybe there he's makpid. Or Dilma, atarte nanalo kapid. Or maybe you say that if it's associated with his profession, he doesn't care, and therefore it's not a problem. Chatzitza, teikul, the Gemara leaves that as an unresolved issue. And with that, we complete the 11th perek, Hajonalach, Dam Chatat. Alright, next Mishnah. Tvoyom, umechuser kipurim, einan chokim, bakodoshim, lechola erev. When it comes to a tvoyom is someone who is tamei, and that tumah will expire that night. The person has already gone to the mikveh, which means he's completed what he needs to do for the tara. The only thing he's waiting for is Herev Shemesh, for the sun to set on that day. So he's a Tvoyom, waiting for the sun to set. So even though he will become automatically Tahor in the evening, he's still precluded from dividing up the Kodeshim of that day in order to eat them that night. He'll be Tahor by that night, and he should be able to eat them. Nevertheless, he's disqualified from splitting the Kodeshim that are on that day. Mechutzer Kippurim is someone who already has gone to the mikveh, had the sunset, but they have an additional requirement of korbanot in order to make them Tahor, which means on the eighth day, things like a Zav, a Zava, Sora, a Nazir, certain people have to bring on the eighth day a korban. So those korbanot, if you don't bring them, then you are mechuser kipurim, and you're not permitted to eat kodoshim. Once you brought the korban, you have permission to eat the kodoshim. Before you bring the korban, you can't eat the kodoshim. So this individual as well is unable to eat the kodoshim in his current state. Once he brings the korbanot, then he will be able to eat them. So despite the fact that he will bring the korbanot, it still doesn't allow him to divide up the korbanot today. He's disqualified from that because at this point he can't eat, even though later today or that evening he will be able to eat. A tvoyom is allowed to eat maaser and chulin. He's not allowed to eat truma. Herev Shemesh gives you permission to eat truma. Mechutzei kuparim gives you the possibility of eating kodoshim. So if you don't have the need to bring korbanot, then Herev Shemesh permits you to eat both truma and kodoshim. If you also have to bring korbanot, then there's a third stage, which means that tvoyom allows you to eat maser, Herev Shemesh will allow you to eat truma, and then kodoshim will only be permitted once you bring your korban, once you complete the mechuser kippurim. Irrespective of what type of kodoshim we're speaking about, you're not allowed to come into contact or to eat the kodoshim in that state. Now, the word la'erev over here is a very difficult terminology, and you can see there's a very large tosafot at the bottom here, which points out that it's only true by Herev Shemesh. By Tvul Yom, you go to the mikveh, and then you have to wait for the sun to set. That means they're only even to come Tahor in the evening. Mechuser Kippurim, that is not true for. A Mechuser Kippurim brings their korbanot, and then they'd be able to eat the Kodeshim immediately. The truth is that the Rabbanan instituted a Tvila. So you also have to go to the mikveh as well. You can't just bring your korbanot, you have to go to the mikveh as well. The reason they instituted that Tvila is to remind the person, maybe they'll remember, because they have been in a state of Tumah for so long, that they'll forget that they still were coming into contact with Tumah, because they weren't makbid on it until now. So we tell them to go to the mikveh to see, to remember that they didn't come into contact with any Tumah. So that is a Tvila Midrabanan. But that Tvila Midrabanan does not require Herev Shemesh, does not require sunset. That means that once you bring the korbanot and do the Tvila, you're ready to eat right away. So therefore, the Balei HaTosfot say the word La'erev over here is only modifying Tvoyom, is not modifying Mechuser Kippurim. Because from Mechuser Kippurim, they could be ready to eat in the middle of the day. They don't have to wait until the evening. Although if you look in the Rashi over here, he says, Eino cholkim lechol erev, likeshit aharu, when they become Tohorim. From this Rashi, it sounds like that the Erev is modifying both the Tvoyom and the Mechuser Kippurim. On the other hand, if you look at Rashi, on Saditet Amud Bet, Rashi v'reminhu, Rashi says, Velo garsinim ba Mechuser Kippurim. In the Brayta, or the Mishnah that they're bringing from Pesachim, he says, don't put Mechuser Kippurim in there. You don't need to wait until nightfall. He brings his kapara, he does his tefillah, and he's ready to eat right away. And so, it's somewhat against what he's writing here in the Pashtut of Mishnah. But Rashi clarifies that later on, similar to what the Balei Tosafot say over here, that when it comes to a tefillah midrabanan, you don't need Herev Shemesh. Now, there are tefillah midrabanan that you do need Herev Shemesh for, but this tefillah midrabanan does not require Herev Shemesh. And therefore, the word la'erev is only modifying tvoyom. It is not modifying mechuser kippurim. Onein nogeya ve'enu makriv. And onein can come into contact with the kodoshim. Ve'enu makriv. They does have permission to do akrava. We learned that earlier in the Masechta, that an onein is disqualified. He's mechalel avuda. He does not have permission to do avoda in the mikdash when he is an onein. Ve'enu cholek le'chol la'erev. And he also does not have permission to participate in the chiluk ha-korbanot of that day. The definition of an onay, this is what the Gemara is going to spend time on, which is going to turn out to be the dapim in the next couple of days, including that of Erev Tisha B'Av and Tisha B'Av itself, which are going to be the sugyot of aninut, which is mida uraita, and onay is the status of the individual who one of their seven krovim, upon which they are obligated to have avelut for, passes away. Yom HaMita is the aninut mida uraita. And the night afterwards is also considered to be aninut, is a machloket tanaim, which we're going to see, whether aninut laila is deoraita or derabanan. So on Yom HaMita there's aninut deoraita. The laila afterwards, the question of whether there's aninut midorabanan or aninut deoraita. Now, if the Yom HaKvura is separate from the Yom HaMita, then there's also aninut derabanan. Aninut deoraita only applies to Yom HaMita. And if Yom HaKvura is together, then it all works out that everything's in one shot. But if there's a separation between the Yom HaMita and Yom HaKvura, then the Yom HaMita is the Aninut Deoraita. Then Aninut Midrabanan kicks in for the Yom HaKvura. Whether the Laila Acharav has a din of Aninut is a machlok. And there the machlok would be whether there's Aninut Derabanan or no Aninut at all of the Laila Acharav. So the din of Onein that we're speaking about here is going to be an Onein Deoraita, because he's precluded from doing Avodah in the Mikdash. Truth is, Midrabanan, Aninut Derabanan will prevent him from doing Avodah in the Mikdash. But to be Mechalel the Avodah Midoraita, he would have to be an Onein Midoraita. Bali Mumim, if he's a Baal Mum, he has a blemish in him. Ben Bali Mumim Ovrim, Ben Bali Mumim Kvuim. That's whether he's a permanent Baal Mum, which means that he'll never be cured from this blemish, or whether he is a temporary Baal Mum. I mean, he has a blemish, but the blemish will heal to the point where he'll be able to return to doing Avodah. They are chukim v'ochlim. Even though they are polluted from doing avoda in the Mikdash, they are participants in the division of the Kodeshim of that day. So they're chukim v'ochlim, aval lo makrivim. They don't bring the korbanot. Kol she'enu ra'ui la'avoda, enu chulek ba'basar. Anybody that does not have the capacity to do avoda does not split with the korbanot. It's not part of the division of the korbanot. Kol she'enu ba'basar, enu be'orot. And if you don't participate in the basar of the korbanot, you also don't participate in the division of the hides that come from the korbanot, which means that by an olah, that's the only thing that comes off the korban. And by other korbanot, if the or is what goes to the kohen along with the basar, then that's also will not come along if he doesn't have basar. Obviously, there's a huge problem here, because he just said that bali mumim, who are not allowed to be makriv, do divide up the basar. And right after that, you set up a principle that says, oh, if you can't do the avodah, if you're not rowing the avodah, then you can't participate in the chiluk of korbanot. And that goes against what you just said with the Baal Mum, and that the Gemara will deal with. Now, afilu tamei b'shat zrikat damim, b'tohor b'shat hekter chalavim. If the Kohen was tamei at the time that the korban was processed and the zrikat adam was done, but by the time they did the hekter chalavim, which says they put the fats on the mizbeach, which can be done even at night, he was already tohor because the sun set by that time. The dam has to be on the mizbeach before sunset. So that was done while he was tamei. The hekter chalavim is only done later that night because it could be put on all night. And at that point, he's already hit Erev Shemesh and he's tahor. Or it can be in a case, if you believe, like we saw before, that a mechuser kippurim does not need Erev Shemesh, be in a case where the mechuser kippurim brought his korbanot between the time of the zrikat adam and maybe even the kabbalat adam and the time period that they put the chalavim on the mizbeach, even during the daytime. You won't even have to split it between day and night. You can split it with even with the day itself, if the korban was processed before he brought his korbanot from Mechuser Kippurim, and then the chalavim were only put on his back after he brought those korbanot, and you'd have that similar setup where he's only tahor for a portion of that which is being done. Enu chalek v'basar. He still does not have a right to divide up the basar, because the pasuk in Vayikra Zayin tells us with regards to the shlamim, hamakriv et dam shlamim, bet achelev mibnei aron, lo tiyesh shoki amin limana. So that's the proof pasuk that's brought over here. If you look in the Tosafot on Tzadi Tedem and Aleph, the Rabbeinu Tam wanted to take this pasuk out of the Mishnah, and you can actually see that in the Shiti Mekubetzet Odalid, where he quotes an alternate pasuk, the pasuk that the Rabbeinu Tam favored, which is in Perek Zayin pasuk Yudalid, where it says, v'yikriv mimenu echad mikul kurban shumal Hashem, la'koheina zoreket dama shlamim lo yiyeh. And he quotes that as the source, that's what the Gemara quotes as the source for this. Therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam favored putting that pasuk in the Mishnah, and that's what you see in the Shittu Mekubetzet Odalit. And the Rabbeinu Tam reinforces that with the fact that the Gemara learns from the pasuk that's quoted in our Mishnah, the fact that a Kohen that's not Modeh Be'avoda that he doesn't believe in the avodah that he's doing, that he's also precluded from being amongst those that divide up the korbana ot, or his pasul be'avodah. So the Bayit Tosafot say that that's not a compelling argument, because maybe we learn both things from the pasuk. Both the fact that a person who isn't mudeh in the avodah cannot participate, as well as the fact that if you're a makriv, you're a oila akrava, then you're allowed to be a part of the chelek korbanot. He says you can learn that out from different parts of the pasuk, because mi'eta chelek darshin and kohen sheinu mudeh la'avodah, and from the word hamakriv we would darshin sheitahor b'shat zrika. So he says that's first of all we can learn both things from this pasuk, and then he says maybe there's a tzrichuta. We need both sukim. We need the pasuk of Perek Zayin pasuk lamed gimel, as well as the pasuk of Perek Zayin pasuk yudalet, because maybe it needs to teach us both that chad zrikat adam. That you have to be tahor during both of those periods of time, both during the Zrikat Adam and the Kabbalat Adam. It's only for the Akrat HaChelev that it doesn't matter, but the Zrikat Adam does matter, and you need to be tahor during that period of time. That's maybe why we need two psukim, one to teach about Kabbalat Adam, one to teach about Zrikat Adam, and therefore he's willing to leave the pasuk that we have in the Mishnah rather than changing the gear so the way that the Rebbeinu Tam wants to. Gemara asks, Minahani Mile, which is a strange question given that the Mishnah just gave you the source for the fact that the pasuk is there, that might be supportive of the Rebbeinu Tam's view that the pasuk should not be in the Mishnah. But nevertheless, Gemara's Menani Mile, which seems to say that how do you know that it's only makpid on the dam and not makpid on the chalavim? From the pasuk itself, you might have learned that either you have to be tahor for one of those two stages, because it mentions both the dam ashlamim as well as the chalev, and therefore you might have thought that if you're tahor for either one of those, it would suffice. Or you could have thought from the pasuk that you need to be tahor during both of those situations in order to be allowed to participate in the division of the korban. But the Mishnah itself told us that it's only true a kohen that is tahor during Zrikat Adam is all you need to be and what you need to be in order to do that. So that means that it can't mean that you are tahor during both of them. Because even if you were tahor during Zrikat Adam and tamei during the Hekter Chalavim, you still get a right to participate. Or the other way we learned the Avamina, which is maybe you could be tahor in either one of those cases. It's not true. Only when you're tahor during the Zrikat Adam are you allowed to. And that's what the Gemara is asking. Minahani Mile. How do we know from the pasuk that you brought that the din of the Mishnah is true? The pasuk seems to indicate one thing. The din of the Mishnah says it's only associated with Zrikat Adam. So where do you know that that's the true only by the Zrikat Adam and not in the ways that we formulated the Havamina based on the pasuk that's brought in the Mishnah? So Minahani Mile, Amrish Lakish, Damakra. As the pasuk says by the Chatat in Perek Vav, that's at the, towards the end of Perek Vav in the Psukim that we've been speaking about all along, it says there, HaKohen HaMechate Uta Yochalena BeMakom Kadosh Te'achel B'Chatzar Omoed. So HaKohen HaMechate, Mechate means the one who's doing this sprinkling of the dam, this Rikat HaDam. So HaKohen HaMechate Yochalena She'enu Mechate Eino Ochel. So that the Kohen is doing this Rikat HaDam, he has a right to eat. The one who doesn't do this Rikat HaDam doesn't have the right to eat. Gemara says, the klolohu? Is that really a principle? Can you really come to that conclusion that that is true? V'hare mishmara kula de'ein mechatin ve'ochlin. What do you mean? When it comes to the Kohen's mishmar, they are all participants in the division of the Kodeshim. The truth is, it's not the mishmar, it's the Beit Av. Because each one of the 6 days, one of the Batei Avot works. But that means this Kohen is doing the Avodah, he's not the sole Kohen that gets to divide up this Basar. It's anybody who's in his Beit Av that gets to divide up the Basar along with him. So how can you argue that the Kohen who does the Zrikat Adam is the one who gets the Korban? That can't be the right reading of it. So the Gemara answers, Ra'oi lechitui ka'amrinan. It means that as long as he could have done the Avodat Adam, then he qualifies to divide up in the Korban. So it doesn't mean literally the one who did the Zrikat Adam. It means anybody who had the capacity to do Zrikat Adam at that point, then they have the right to participate in the division of the korbanot. It's a very interesting Rashi at the top of the Amud here. He says, why is it that the Mishmar Kula gets to participate, or the Beit Av gets to participate? He says, Elechad Zaraka Yidei Kulan. He says that the Kohen who's doing the Avoda is in proxy, or an emissary of the Mishmar or the Beit Av to do the Avoda. So he's acting on behalf of the Mishmar or the Beit Av to do the Avoda, and that's why everybody is a participant, or should be a participant in that Achila. Says, Hari Katan, de'eno ro'i lechitoi ve'ochel. What about a Katan who is not allowed to do avoda, because ish is a demand for a person of age that does the avoda, but he is allowed to participate in the achilat korbanot. If that's the case, how do you explain that the katan can eat even though he's not roi lechitoy? Elamai yochalena. So you have to learn that the word yochalena means yichalkena, not that he will eat it, but rather that he will divide it, which means roi lechitoy cholek. The one who can or had the capacity to do avoda has a right to be in the division of the korban. Shein roi lechitoy and ucholek, he cannot be in the division. So the katan is precluded from being a participant in the division. He doesn't have a right to be in the lottery or the dividing up of the korban. He only has a right to eat it. He eats as a subordinate to his parent or to the other kohanim that are there. He doesn't have a right on his own to get a piece of the korban. He can be given a piece to eat. So the pasuk is telling you that it's not yochalena, but yichalkena. The reason to say that it's speaking about yichalkena is because later on in the pasuk, it tells you, kol zachar b'kohanim yochalata, kodesh kashimi. So the pasuk already tells you that they're going to eat it. So then what's the yochalena up here? The yochalena up here must be yichalkenu. Harei balmo, deinu ra'oi lechitoi v'cholik. The question that we noted in the Mishnah already, you have a Baal Mum who's precluded from Avoda, and yet he is able to be in the lottery or the division of the Korban. It says, Baal Mum Rachmana Rabye, a Baal Mum the Torah specifically included, because the Pasuk that we just read, which was, Kozachar B'Kohanim Yuchaluta, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu, that is a Ribuy to tell you that Baal Mum is included, the Rabot Baal Mum. So Gemara says, Ve'ema Kozachar L'Rabot Tvul Yom. Why don't we say that Kol Zachar comes to include a Tvul Yom? How do you know that the Ribuy is coming to include a Baal Mum and not to include a Tvul Yom? Mistavra Baal Mum, Havaleh Ribuy, Shekein Ochel. It makes sense to say that a Baal Mum should be included in the division of the Korban because he can eat the Korban. Now we know that actually from a Pasuk in Parshat Emor, where in Perek Chaf Aleph it says over there, with regards to the Balei Mumim, who are precluded from doing Avodah, it says, Lechem Elokav, Mikodshi HaKodoshim, Mikodoshim Yochel, that he's allowed to participate or eat the Kodoshim. So a Baal Mum is permitted to eat Kodoshim, and that's already explicit in the Pasukim and Emor. So here, when you're doing the Ribuy, first of all, the Ribuy that tells you can eat is not going to be about Achila, because we know that already. It must be about Chiluk. And the reason we're going to give him the advantage of being Merabeh and being a participant in the division of the Korban is because he's Mutar Ba'Achila, so it makes sense. So where it says, says, wait, maybe Tvul Yom makes more sense to include over here, because even though Tvul Yom right now is disqualified, but by nighttime he's qualified to do Avoda. And so then he will be someone who's wrote with Avoda. Maybe we should give it to him. It says, Hashtamiya Halokazi, right now. In the current context, he's not Ra'oi to Avoda. And that gives the Baal Mum the advantage. And therefore we use the Ribuy in the Perek Vav of Kol Zachar, Bakwanim Yochal, Ota, Kodesh Kodeshim Hu, to include the Baal Mum, to give him the right not only to eat the Korban, but also to be a participant in the division of the Korban. The Baal Yetosupot note that why the Gemara could have given the same answer for Katan, because as Rashi notes over here, that when it comes to the Chalukah of the Korbanot, it says, Ish Kachiv, only those of age can be a participant in the division, and Katan Cholek, and the Katan cannot be a participant in the Chalukah. The fact that the Torah went out of its way to tell me he's not a divider of the Korban, Michlal Da'achil. You can see from that he is able to eat the Korban. The Ode, and also the Pasuk over here says, Kol Zachar B'Kohanim. Kol Zachar means any male can eat, even those that are Ketanim. So you could have answered the same thing over here, that there is a Ribuy, Minakra, that tells you that the Katan can eat the same way it answers by Baal Mum. The Baal Tosafot say, either Kevin the Katan Baal Mum, Ochel, Mayatakral Yashmi'inan. Even if you were to say that both of them can eat, nevertheless, the pasuk has to come to teach you something, and so therefore we'd have to come to that conclusion, or you would have to say that the Gemara now had the question about Baal Mum, and therefore it went down that route with Baal Mum, but not with a Katan. Now, Rav Yosef Amar. Rav Yosef says, I think something else. Michte, ma yochalena. It says in the pasuk, yochalena, which Abaye just told us means yichalkena. Lichtov rachmana yichalkena. Why doesn't the Torah just write that explicitly? Why is it writing it in a unclear manner where it's saying the word yochlena when it really means yochalkena? So my yochlena. So then why does it write yochlena? Shma mina. Ra'oi la'achila chulek. She'en ra'oi la'achila eno chulek. Someone who can eat the korban at that time has a right to be in the division of the korban. Someone who can't eat the korban does not have a right to be in the division of the korban. And that is a Baal Mum has a right to eat. So therefore he gets to be in the dividing of the korban. a tvoyom does not have a right to eat, and therefore he's precluded. So that's how Rav Yosef gets the source for the fact that Baal Mum should be included. By Reish Lakish, Baal Mum, v'hu tamei mahu. If the person is a Baal Mum and also tamei, what is the din shechalek lo? Can he be a part of the division of the korban? Came into lo chazi, since he isn't ra'ui to do the avoda anyway, v'rachman arabye, and the Torah included him anyway, lo shna, it makes no difference. Mali tamei, mali Baal Mum. Why does it make a difference why he's precluded from the avoda? He's already precluded from the avoda because he's a Baal Mum. So now you add on tamei. Tamei shouldn't change anything. He can't do the avoda anyway. If the Torah said in his state he's still allowed to eat, maybe even the state of Tumah he should be allowed to eat as well. Odilma, roi lachila cholek, shein roi lachila enu cholek. Or do we say it's governed by your capacity to eat at that moment the korban? So amarabo tashma. I'll prove to you which of these two it is because of the Kohen Gadol. By the Kohen Gadol, makriv onein. The Kohen Gadol can be makriv as an onein. If you look in Rashi now, makriv onein, eno tzrich letzeik min amikdash. He does not have an obligation to leave the mikdash. If he chooses to stay in the mikdash and do avoda, he is not mechalel the avoda. So that's one way to read the pasuk, that the Kohen Gadol can leave the mikdash if he wants, but if he decides to stay in, he's not mechalel the avoda, he has a right to do it. And that's what it means that the pasuk means that he will not be mechalel the avoda. On the other hand, there are many rishonim who disagree and think that the Kohen Gadol must stay in the mikdash, because if he leaves the mikdash, he's mechalel the mikdash by leaving it. If he goes to tend to his own personal matters, he's mechalel the mikdash because his position demands that he remains in the mikdash. There he's obligated to stay in the mikdash and work as an unain. So those are different ways to read the obligation of the Kohen Gadol over here. But nevertheless, the Kohen Gadol, as opposed to a Kohen Hejot, if he does a voda, it is not mechulal. But, ve'enu ochel, he's not allowed to eat, ve'enu cholek, and he's not allowed to divide up, le'chol le'erev, to eat that night, when he'll no longer be an onein. Shmamina. From here you see, ra'ui la'achila be'inan shmamina. You see from here that the governing principle is ra'ui la'achila. Because here where the Kohen Gadol is ra'ui la'chitui, he's doing the avoda, and despite the fact that he's doing the avoda, he's not allowed to participate in the division of the korban. The only thing that could disqualify him is the fact that he can't eat the korban, and you see the governing principle about whether you join in the division of the korban or not is whether you have the right to eat the korban or you don't have the right to eat the korban. And therefore, the reason a Baal Mum is allowed to participate in the chalukah is because he's ra'oi la'achila. It's not because he has a special dispensation in the Torah, despite the fact that he's not ra'oi la'chitoi, that he can still participate in the korban. And therefore, as a tamei, he should also have that dispensation. But rather, the main reason the Baal Mum can participate in the Chalukah is because he is Ro'i L'Achila. Once he becomes Tameh, he's no longer Ro'i L'Achila, and therefore he'll be precluded from participating in the division of the Korban. Now, even though, as the Balei Tosafot point out over here, that the Gemara said, Ro'i L'Chitoi Cholek, someone who has the right to do Avoda can divide up. When he doesn't have the ability to do Chitoi, he can't divide. That was the principle that we learned from the Pasuk of a Kohen HaMachateh Uda. But I just want to point out, that's just not true, because the Kohen Gadol over here is Ra'oi L'Chitoi, and he still isn't Cholek. So what the Baal Tosafot will point out is, only the negative formulation is true. It's not the positive formulation, which means, anybody who can't do Chitoi, can't participate in the Chiluk. That's what the Pasuk tells you. The positive formulation is not true. Just because you can't do Avoda doesn't mean you can't eat. It just means if you can't do Avoda, then you can't eat. So that's how he formulates it, based on what we see here about the Kohen Gadol. Bayi Rav Hoshaya. Tamei b'korbanot tzibur mahu. If you have a Kohen Tamei that is working in the korbanot ha-tzibur, what is the din shiachal kulo? Can he participate in the division of the korbanot? Mir minan ha-mechate amarachmana v'hainami mechatehu. The Torah says that someone who's ra'ui le'avodah, he can participate in the chiluk, and this Kohen who's Tamei has a right to do avodah because of tumah d'chuya b'tzibur. Now, if everybody is Tameim, then of course he can do it, and he is Ra'oi L'Avodah, but in that case, they wouldn't be eating the Korbanot, because the Korbanot would be Tameim, and you don't eat a Korban that is brought B'Tum'ah, because it is Tamei. So, it must be speaking about either Korbanot of Tzibur, where the robe of the Tzibur are Tehorim, and they're going to process it with Kohanim Tehorim, or in the case of Korban Pesach, where even if it's brought bitumah, it can be eaten. Or there are Rishonim who disagree with what we just said here, which is the view of Rashi, that if the korban is brought bitumah, if there are Kohanim Tehorim, that they can eat the korban that was brought bitumah, as opposed to Rashi, who assumes that once it's brought bitumah, then the korban is not eaten, period. So that's the question, the nature of the question over here, which is in a case where the korbanot tzibur will be eaten, Does the Kohen who's Tamei have a right to eat it because of this Tuma Dechuya B'tzibor? Tuma Huchoy B'tzibor, had he done the Avoda, it would have been good Avoda. It may not be that he's doing the Avoda, or even if he does the Avoda, he doesn't come into contact with the Korban. The Korban is Kasher Le'achila, does he get to participate because he can't do Avoda? Or someone who is Ro'oi L'Achila gets a right to participate in the division of the Korban. Someone who's not Ro'oi L'Achila can't. He's Tamei, he's not Ro'oi L'Achila because there's no din of Tuma, Hutra or Duchuya B'tzibor with regards to Achila. Some Ravina, Tashma. So they bring the same proof. Kohen Gadol, Makriv Onein, Veinu Uchel, Veinu Chulek, Lechol Le'erev. Shma Mina, you see again from the Kohen Gadol, just because you have the capacity to do a Voda does not give you a right to be in the participants of the division of the Korban. It's only if you're Ra'oi L'Achila do you get the right to be in that division. Ra'oi L'Achila, Be'inan, Shma Mina. And once again in this case, just Kohen Tamei will also be precluded from dividing in the Korbanot Tzibor. Even though he's Ra'oi L'Chitoi, he's not Ra'oi L'Achila, and he will be precluded. Okay, we're going to stop here by the two dots, two-thirds of the way down on Tzaditet, Amud Aleph.